greatest story you will ever tell is the one about who Jesus is. But the second greatest story you will ever tell is your own. Who you are, what you've gone through, what Jesus has done in your life, and how it has made all the difference in the world for you today. Your testimony has the power to change things, to impact people, to make them look at something that they might otherwise not pay any attention to, might not even be interested in. But now, let me go check this thing out. Now, I think some of you may have been like me a few years ago. One of the best movies I ever saw in my entire life, and I remember like the build up to it. Wakanda Forever. Black Panther came out, and when I saw the first trailer, okay, y'all, can I be honest with you? Can I? I'm gonna take a step. I'm not Pastor Jay right now. I'm just Jay English, okay? So don't fault what I'm about to say. They don't do black people right with superhero movies, okay? They don't. We don't get like regular superheroes. Like, y'all already know how I feel about horror movies. They kill us first and them. Y'all know I'm not lying. When you see the first black guy in a horror movie, you know he dead by 4 minutes. He not gonna make it. Well, we get the same type of treatment in the superheroes. Like, they give us a superhero, but why he gotta be a vampire? Like, I mean, I like Blade, but why he gotta have a blood problem? Then they gave us another superhero, and I'm like, okay, he cool, but Spawn is a demon. I want a Superman. Why can't I have a clean cut, like, why my guy got to crawl out of hell to come save the world? I'm just asking questions, okay? Again, this is not Pastor Jay. This is Jay English. These are the questions I have with myself. I want a regular superhero. I want a Spider-Man. Thank God for Miles Morales. Thank God. I'm very happy for him. I'm talking about that brother like he real. In the multiverse, he is. That's all right. But for real, like, I be struggling, so when the Black Panther trailer came out, I was like, we got a brother that's like, he from a kingdom? He's a prince? He talked the king's English? He got powers that don't come from hell? People like him? Now see, I can't co-sign with you on that one. Now look, I'm going to go back to being Pastor Jay for a second. I ain't going He fine? No, I'm not going. I would like to welcome you to Journey Church Beach Park, where anything may happen at any time, where folks preach along with me. But yeah, like, you know, and when Black Panther came out, we was just like walking down the street. You just see another person, you be like, no words was necessary. I ain't got to say nothing. You just see another brother come. Or if you was really about it, you'd be like, Ibambe. That's it. And folks that seen the movie knew what you was talking about. And like when I saw that movie and I got out of there, I told everybody. I was posting on Facebook. I was putting pictures out. I was sharing the trailer. Like, you have to go see this movie. It was big budget. It was major actors and actresses. It was everything that many of us have been like, why can't we get movies like this? I ain't mad about Boys in the Hood, but all of us didn't have that life. Thank you. However, yes, let us have the nation that's the richest one on the face of the planet. Yes. So for those that didn't understand why Black Panther was so big to us, that was why. Like, folks was getting dressed up. We was wearing all white. We was coming with drums. We was doing a lot of stuff for a movie that ain't real. But we were celebrating, and we told everybody. And you know what? I think that's how many of us were when we first met Jesus. Like, when you first meet Jesus and he first do some stuff in your life that prove to you, number one, that he actually is real. And then he get a hold of you and stuff starts changing and you start feeling a little different and things you used to do. You're like, I just don't feel like, I mean, I know I go to club with y'all every week, but I don't feel like going. Like, what is wrong? And some of y'all used to smoke all the weed all the time.
And you be in your little circle with your friends and puff, puff, pass. You didn't know how to do that. They had to remind you to pass. Because you was that person. But then when they call you now, like, hey, you want to go hang out? You're like, nah, bro, I'm good. That ain't going to get me where I'm trying to go. And when things start changing, when you first get that taste of Jesus, you be telling everybody. Like, you ought to come to church with me, bro. We got to do this Bible study. You're like, Bible study? What's wrong with you? I don't know. Something just happened. I just want you to have what I got. Like, we tell people, but at some point, you ever heard that song, The Thrill Is Gone? At some point in our relationship, we can allow that to start to happen. And we stop telling people about the goodness of Jesus. We stop broadcasting it out on our social media platforms. We stop just talking about the things that are going on in our lives and how he changed us. We forget almost how and who we used to be. But I want to remind you today that there is power in your story. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your background is. Your story has power. And if God has brought you out of anything, that can be everything for someone else to hear about. Amen. Amen. I want to take you into the Bible. And we're going to learn about a young man here in John chapter 9. And I believe he's got some things to tell us about the power of our testimony and how it can make an impact on those around us. But there's some things to be aware of, too, as you share what God has done for you. I want to stop. Let me stop and pray. I just feel like God wants us to pray right now. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. And Lord, we come to you just giving you this service. I thank you for the outpouring of your spirit and the energy and the love and the passion that already fills this room. God, I pray that you will speak boldly, God, that you will help us understand who you've called us to be and that the story you've given us has been given to us to impact this world. Bless this time. And we leave out of here renewed and changed in Jesus' name. Everyone say amen. Amen. Let's dive into John chapter 9. So in verse 1, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? Now, it's funny to me that the disciples of Jesus Christ's first question is, well, who did wrong so that he became this? And church folks, we got to be careful about how we judge folks. Because sometimes you can look at a person and think that you'd have figured it all out when you don't have a clue what you're talking about. And I love the fact that Jesus corrects them like instantly. He don't even let them go down that road. He says, this happened so the power of God could be seen in him. He answers their question. He said it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. Skipping down to verse 6. Jesus spits on the ground, made mud with the saliva and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes and told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Can I ask y'all a question? How badly do you want to be healed? I mean, like, think about this. If Jesus could solve your problem right now, whatever the problem is. But before he fixed it, he said, close your eyes. And you heard him go, if I was blind, I'd have been like, hey, Jesus. Now, I ain't the smartest brother. I can't see what's happening. That sounded like my ears is real good. Oh, yeah, I just need to put this on your eye. Nah, bro, nah. We going to go ahead and just, we good. How bad do you want what Jesus has for you? Yes. Jesus spits in mud. Like it's already, I'm going to put some dirt on your face. Right. I'm going to spit in it, and then I'm going to smear it around in your eyes. I want, like for real, think about this. And then I want you, you're not healed yet. I want you now with this mess on your face to walk through the city, find your way to this specific pool I told you to go to, and wash your face there. Some of y'all never would have made it. You would have went, as soon as you saw water anywhere, you'd have been in a puddle on the sidewalk trying to get stuff out of your face, and you would have missed your blessing. Because sometimes Jesus will ask you to do things that make zero sense just to see, are you willing to trust him at his word? Obedience is part of the process. and you will miss out on an incredible testimony simply because you were disobedient. In my imagination, I sincerely imagine that this brother was a germaphobe and Jesus was testing all of his patience. How bad do you want this? And it says that when Jesus told him to go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" And some said, "Yeah, that's him." And others said, "No, that can't be. It just looked like him." But the beggar kept telling them, "Yes, it's me. I am the one. I'm that person." They're like, "No, that can't be you." Can I tell you the first thing you need to know about your testimony? Life looks differently when you've been with Jesus. When you spend time with Jesus, when you've really let him get a hold of your life to where you're willing to be obedient, you're willing to look crazy, you're willing to do something that otherwise you typically would not do. And when Jesus gets a hold of your life, what starts to happen is your life begins to look different to everyone else as well. Your friends and your family will be the first to notice. They'll be the first ones looking at you like, "What's wrong with you? Did you hear what that person said to you? You just gonna let that fly?" Because they know that you used to fight at the drop of a hat. They know that you cuss people out for a living. If it was a full-time job, you'd be well paid. And now they're looking at you and somebody says something crazy and you've got nothing to say. I can't even go there. You walked away from an altercation? And here's the funny part about when friends and family know you. They'll be the first to see the change, but they'll be the last ones to accept that it's real. Yeah. Why is that? Your friends and family, the ones that grew up with you, the ones that know you. "Well, I know how you used to be. I know how you was. I know that's still in there. I remember you when." Yeah, but that was a long time ago. I'm not that person no more. And sometimes you have to just live this thing out in spite of friends and family, in spite of people that will look at you and say, "I don't recognize you. I don't know who this is. This ain't my friend no more. She don't want to hang out. Oh, you think you too good for me? You think you can't just go out and hang out? We can't just do what we used to do?" No, because I'm not who I used to be. I know I still look the same, but the Bible says we become a new creature. Some of my desires start looking different. Places that I used to go, I'm looking at them like, that ain't in my best interest no more. And your life looks differently. I remember, I'm going to call her a young lady. She wasn't young. She was much older than I was, and she joined a choir. I was at a church for about 17 years in Waukegan. I oversaw the music ministry there, and we had a choir, large group of us. We used to come together, and this little old lady, have you ever met people that's so happy all the time it almost irritates you? Yes. You ever had somebody like so happy when you be like, "You feeling me right now, right?" Like they come around and you be like, "Calm down. Like life ain't that good every day." I'm like, "How you doing?" I'm going to call her Linda. I'm like, "Linda, how's it going?" "Oh, it's just good. I'm so excited. I'm so happy." I'm like, "Okay." I just asked a question. And she was so bubbly and she was so happy. And when the choir was singing, she'd just be dancing and she'd be clapping and she'd be moving around. And you'd be wondering, like, "What's wrong with her? What's wrong with you? Bring it down a little bit. It's all right." Until I heard her testimony. All right. That woman got up in choir rehearsal one night and she started telling us who she used to be. I had been at that church for 17 years, and I found out that I knew Linda. I used to go to church, and around on the other side of the building that many of us hardly ever walked on was Genesee Street. And this little old lady used to be sitting out on the stoop on Genesee Street, drugged out of her mind, begging for money. Clothes was torn up, smelled terrible. You could tell life had done some stuff to her. And when I found out that that same lady I used to see on Genesee was the same lady that was now sitting in this choir next to me, and she started talking about how God got a hold of her life. She was like, "I spent all of them Sundays sitting outside this building, and one Sunday I finally decided to come in." And she's like, now I'm in my right mind. Now I'm happily married. Now I've got a relationship with my kids back. I'm working a job. I got friends and family in this choir. I got people in this church that love me. And if you wonder why I come in here acting crazy, it made me want to act crazy. Because when you've seen somebody go through hell and come out of it, and they're standing there telling you, it's only because of the goodness of God that I'm standing here today, sober and in my right mind, able to worship him and praise him. From then on after, I never messed with Miss Linda ever again. As happy as she was to come in, was as happy as I was to see her, because I knew her testimony. She didn't have to be alive. It's people who had did a whole lot less drugs that had died. And here she is still here. She said, whenever I have an opportunity to come in the house of God and to worship him and to praise him and to love on other people, I'm going to do it. And if you wonder why I'm so happy, here is why. It changed my whole perception because I knew you. And it was hard to believe this was the same person. But that's the type of God we serve. We serve a God who loves showing off his handiwork. Amen. He loves to take things that would confuse everybody and exalt them, lift them up, clean them up, give them all the things other people would say they shouldn't have, and then walk them right back into the same situation and say, but look at what I can do.
Right. Amen.
She was a walking, living testimony. That we could send other people who are struggling with addictions, struggling with life. We could send them, you need to go talk to Miss Linda. Oh, she got a story for you. And if he can do it for her. Some of y'all ain't excited enough for me. See, when I know God can do it for somebody else, that means he can do it for me too. Because he said, I'm not a respecter of persons. I don't care who you are, where you come from. If you're in this room and you're going through something you think you can't get out of, it is somebody on the other side of this room that's already been there, already done that, and God is upholding them to show you the power that he has to do the same in your life. Amen. God loves to show off his handiwork. Diving back into this scripture, you've got this brother here that has been healed of blindness. Friends and family is like, I can't believe it's you. And now people have questions. And in verse 10, they asked, who healed you? What happened? And he told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes. I like how he didn't say that he spit in it, though. He's like, I ain't telling y'all that part. He said, you ain't got to know the whole story. Now, look, I'm just going to tell you, he put a little mud on my eye. And spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees. Of course they did. Because Jesus had healed this man on the Sabbath day. Now, the Pharisees was that group of church folks. You know, when y'all hear me talk about super saints, I'm talking about Pharisees. You hear me talk about the folks that's so saved that Jesus himself be looking at them like, I don't know what. Super saints, the ones that's going to stand before Jesus and be in trouble. And he going to be like, I know you did all this stuff in my name. I know you cast out demons. I know you fed the hungry and I never knew you. That's a dangerous place to be. These Pharisees who are here looking for a reason to persecute Jesus, even though you can look at what's happening and tell something crazy is going on here. So they ask him, what happened and how did you get healed? And he tells them again, he put mud over my eyes and when I washed it away, I could see. Now in verse 24, these Pharisees are struggling. They don't really believe him. Church folks, why don't we believe folks when God do stuff? We the ones to be preaching Christ. We the ones that be talking about you need to pray. You need to seek after God. He has a will for you to be healed. But then when folks walk in and say, I have been healed, you don't want to believe it happened. Or they got, let me bring it on home. They got blessed with the job that you wanted. and now you mad. But we prayed together about this job. You knew they needed a job. You knew they was going for that, putting their application in. You just knew in the back of your mind, you put your application in too. And now you're angry, you're jealous. Or you're looking and asking, well, God, why didn't you do that for me? Did you ever think that maybe God is testing you by blessing somebody else to see how you respond to the blessing? The Bible says to celebrate with those that celebrate. Yes, to mourn with those that mourn. Yes. To cry with those that cry. Like, we should be able to celebrate each other. When something great happens to you, you should be able to look around the room and see who all is celebrating with you. And you better take notice of the ones that's not. Because the ones that really love you and really appreciate you and really want to see good happen, when good things happen to you, they down for it. And I think that sometimes God blesses folks around us just to see how you're going to act. He may have a bigger blessing waiting for you. But will you pass the test first? So the Pharisees aren't quite happy for this brother. And they bring him back in for the second time in verse 24. And they say, God should get the glory for this. Because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. And I love this man's response. I don't know whether he is a sinner, but I know this. I was blind and now I can see. I'm not here to argue with you about Jesus. He like, look, I met some man on the corner. He told me his name was Jesus. You telling me he's a sinner? I'm telling you, I don't care. I'm telling you, I was blind. I couldn't see nothing. This man showed up in my life, and now all of a sudden I can see everything? You can say whatever you want about him. Because I know what happened to me. This is the power of your testimony. Why is this powerful? Because people can challenge your story, but they cannot challenge the outcome. People can challenge your belief, but they can't challenge the results. See, when I come to you and say, hey, I got a sickness that they telling me I got 6 months to live, but we're going to pray together and believe that God is going to turn this thing around. Well, people can say, well, I don't believe there is a God. I don't believe there is anything like that. We just down here living. You can challenge my beliefs. But when a year and a half later, I walk up next to you and I'm still here, challenge these results. When I get hired for a job that I know I'm not qualified for, challenge these results. Does that make sense? The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Because how can you challenge me on my story? This is my life. I know what happened to me. I know I should have been put out of this apartment 6 months ago. And I know some checks showed up. You want to see them? You can challenge my belief, but you can't challenge these checks. But see, when God brings fruit into the situation, you can hold the fruit up and show them. Yeah. Okay, don't believe in God. Believe in this apple that keeps showing up every time I got a problem. How come when I pray about the things that are going on in my life, something somewhere seems to be answering those specific requests? Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Your testimony has power. Because when God does the impossible for you, it won't matter what people have to say about him. You don't care. When you just seen the impossible done in your life, you don't care what nobody else got to say. Amen. You just like, thank you, Jesus, anyhow. Yeah. It doesn't matter when he does it. Because regardless of what they believe to be true, you know for a fact that what used to be is not what is today. Amen. I know I used to be wondering where my next paycheck was going to come from. But now I got a full-time job that's paying all my bills and my mama's. But see, when you get blessed, you have enough for yourself and for someone else. You start recognizing that this is God doing these things for me. And see, I've personally seen miracles that have cemented my faith. Some of you have seen miracles. You've seen impossible things happen. I've told you all before I lost my mother in 2013 to lung cancer. And I thank God for 2013. Because she should have been gone in 2011. Maybe you don't know the whole story. I've seen the miraculous. My mother was going down. She was less than 100 pounds. She couldn't walk. She was bedridden. To get to the bathroom, my dad had to literally lift her up and carry her to the toilet.
She could do nothing for herself, and we knew it was only a matter of time before she was going to be gone. But you know what? You pray differently when it's somebody that you love. And I remember coming into the room, myself, Pastor Sonia, we walked into that house, we walked in, grabbed hands with my father, and we came around this bed, and my mama could barely lift herself up, and we started praying, and we prayed in a way that I can't honestly say I've ever prayed ever since. The power of God fell in a tangible way that is mind-blowing to me. I get emotional talking about it. It was like the Holy Spirit just walked in the room and said, I got this. And began praying for us, through us. My mother, who couldn't get up, who couldn't walk, who couldn't go to the bathroom, what started to happen over the next couple of weeks was mind-blowing. She had just been to the doctor and they told us the nodules on her lungs were growing. They were expanding. They were cutting off oxygen. Well, over the next couple of weeks, she started getting up out the bed. She started getting dressed. Started getting her little cute back on. Next thing I know, she started driving. How you gaining weight and you ain't eating nothing? She went in for her test and they said, the nodules on your lungs are shrinking. She returned back to church. She returned back to messing with my life in every way possible. Don't want me to drive me nuts. It was amazing. We watched this woman come from the bed, literally dying, to all the way back to when Sonia and I got married. My mama was there in her pink dress that she didn't want to wear. She was roasting everybody moving. She talked about me. She talked about everything. She gave me more problems than I wanted in my wedding. God gave me 2 extra years with my mother that I don't feel I would have had. Miracles, miraculous things. There was a brother I knew that was on a cane. We had been to church together for years. We knew he couldn't walk. Legs was bad, knees was shot. We had an evangelist come in one night and he started saying, if you want to be healed, come down to this front. And I remember watching him with his cane, come on down the aisle. That man, we got to praying. Next thing I know, that brother threw that cane and he started doing squats on the stage. And we sitting there like, because look, y'all, it's one thing when you see Benny Hinn do it on TV and you like, that ain't real. It's different when it's somebody you know. It's somebody you've been hanging out with. It's somebody you know they ain't faking. Brother ain't touched. You ain't dropped it like it's hot ever. When you see the miraculous happen, we've got people in this room. The miraculous have happened. There was a lady that was here first service, and I remember her. We prayed. She was like, Pastor Jay, I just want to get my kids back. That's my prayer. That's all I want. That's all I desire. And we prayed. Y'all, she shows up here now with both of her kids. You can't tell me what God won't do. Don't bother me about Jesus. You come talk to me about these results. We had a family here. I'm talking about here in this room. You sitting next to some of these folks and don't even know it. There's a family here that had their 3-year-old daughter. They thought they were going to lose her just a month and a half ago. Her hemoglobin dropped down to 2. They thought they were going to deal with brain damage. They didn't know if she would make it back. She was comatose. But the church started praying. Oh, we bombarded heaven on behalf of that little girl. I walked into the room one day, and when you see a child there with tubes and stuff all down their throat, and they can't move, it'll break you in a way that is totally different than watching it happen to an adult. You feel like something's wrong with the world that this is happening to a kid. And we sitting there, and it's almost like God has a way of just, he almost has a sense of humor with things. The doctors had just got through telling the parents, we hope she'll be able to speak again. Ever? Like, you hope she'll be able to speak again? You know, at some point. So mom is literally having a conversation with me, explaining to me about how they're hoping and praying
that her daughter will be able to talk again sometime within the next couple of weeks or so, as they try to see if she's got enough brain capacity left. Do you know that little girl opened her eyes and started talking to us right then? That chick opened her eyes and said, "Daddy, I'm hungry." You can argue with my beliefs, but you can't argue with these results. That little girl went into rehab. First, she made a miraculous recovery in the hospital. They was confused. They sent her to rehab. They're like, "She might have to be in rehab for a couple of months. We don't know how long. You know, we got a place for you to stay." Huh? That little girl left there, went to rehab, couldn't walk. They're like, "She might have to relearn how to walk." Yeah, okay, Jesus can do that real quick. It was about a week later, they were sending me videos of her running. This little girl that not even a month and a half ago, doctors were saying, "We don't even know if she's going to make it." Do you know she back here at the church running around downstairs doing the stuff that she was doing? She back in school. She back getting on her daddy's nerves. She back doing all the stuff. Because we serve a real God who can do miracles. And the miracles are not just for you. It's to show other people the power of God through your life. Do you know the people they got to talk to, the nurses they met, the doctors that they spoke with, the folks that was doing the rehab, those of us who prayed and got to see the power of God manifested? So now every time this little girl walks in the room, all I see is a walking miracle. You ain't supposed to be here. But we serve a God that said, "Not so." He got the last word. And when we pray and seek after him, he is able to make a difference in our lives. We watched this with Pastor Kevin. Y'all know what Pastor Kevin been through. He got up here on this stage, told everybody, "I've been diagnosed with cancer." And we watched him lose his hair. We watched him go through the process. And then, about a month ago, this man gets up and says, "Hey, just want everybody to know I am cancer free." We're talking about walking, living miracles. And when God does the miraculous, it is to show other people that he has the power to do these things. And I'm just here to tell you, some of you have been healed. Some of you have been delivered. Some of you have been restored. Some of you have been forgiven, or you've walked off of cases that you know you should have went to jail for a long time. And God saw fit to give you a second chance. Come on, God is good, y'all. He is good. I want to finish up this story here for you, but in John chapter 9, verse 26, the Pharisees are asking this young man, "What did he do?" And they ask, "How did he heal you?" And it's funny because if I feel like the brother get frustrated, like now he got an attitude. He didn't got healed. And now he tired of them asking him the same questions. He said, "Look, I told you once. Didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? You keep asking me all these questions. You must want to know more about him too." And they looked at him, and the Bible said they cursed him. Y'all better be careful these cussing church folks. How you invite me to come here to tell you my story about how I get healed, and then when I tell you, you gonna cuss me out? Everybody with a title ain't saved, y'all. Everybody that's standing on the pulpit ain't one you supposed to follow. I done told y'all, Pastor Jay ever wild out and go crazy and start doing stuff, you better leave this church. Don't be in here blaming Jesus. "Well, God, I can't stand you. Look at Pastor Jay." No, tell Jesus that you love him and let me go. Because our lives should line up with the one that we say we serve. And you should be following after me as you see me following after Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. I just want us to be a healthy church here. So these folks cuss at him and say, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from." Huh? You don't know where he come from. This brother, now, you know, he was just blind like yesterday. This is the power that enters into you when Jesus has done something for you and you know it was Jesus that did it. You get a boldness that just comes over you where you ain't willing to take no mess off of what you know is true in your life. And he says, "You know what? That's very strange."
He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not of God, he couldn't have done it. I'm going to repeat that one more time. He says, if this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. Some of us need to remember that. If Jesus wasn't who he said he was, this couldn't have happened. If God wasn't real, this couldn't have shown up at this exact time when I had to have it. If God doesn't exist, why is it when I prayed all night for God to show up in this one specific way, and that's the exact thing that happened? I've seen God change people's perspective. I had a young man in a youth group that did not believe God was real at all. And he wanted to challenge me. He's about 17 years old. And you know, these 17-year-olds, they know everything. They know everything. You can't tell them nothing. I'm trying to tell this brother Jesus is real. He's like, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know, man. You tell me about this Jesus thing. I don't know if that's real. I said, okay, so let's ask him to prove it. What you mean? Just what I said. We're going to dare Jesus to prove that he's real to you. And I told him, now here's the catch. When he do it, you got to come back and tell me. Oh, okay, I do that. It ain't going to happen no way. Oh, okay. See, you ain't got no relationship with him like I do. I done seen him do a thing or two. So we prayed. I was like, come on, let me pray with you. And I told Jesus, I want you to get him. Get him in such a way that he know it had to be you. That brother came back to me a week later. Pastor Jay, I need to talk to you. No. What you want to talk to me about? He started telling me a story about how he was walking home and something told him not to go down the normal street he normally walks down. And he was like, I don't know. It was just weird. Like, I just kept getting this feeling like, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. He was like, but I always go that way. He's like, Pastor Jay, I went a block earlier and made a right turn instead of going down the street I normally go to. He found out that that street he was about to walk down, it was two pit bulls on the loose running up and down that street attacking folks. He was walking. That would have been him. He was like, Pastor Jay, I'd have been on that street with them dogs. So you want to tell me again about how Jesus ain't real? No, Pastor Jay, he real, bro. He real. I'm just telling you, Jesus will prove himself to you. Because when we think of a restaurant and you're the server and you're coming out of the back. Anybody know them big, huge platters that they use to bring your meal out on? See, a platter is something large that they place food on. And it's to help make it look more appetizing. It makes it more appealing to the eyes when you see it. Some of y'all, you see them people come out with them big platters in their arms. You start getting excited. You just at your table looking. I hope that's mine. Then they make you want to slap them when they stop at the table right before you. But it's like that. We are servers. And our testimony is the platter. And we're walking around bringing Jesus to the table. And our testimony makes it look more appealing. It makes him more appetizing for those that might not otherwise try it. Have you ever gone out to eat and had folks order food and you was happy with yours until theirs came? Like you was real excited. You order what you normally order and you like, ooh, I can't wait to eat this. But then theirs came out and they tried something new. And you like, man, I should have ordered what you got. And you sitting there with that hungry look on your face. And they look at you and be like, you want some? Yes. And it's a wonderful thing when they slide their plate over next to yours and start pushing some off on it. Well, in the spiritual, it's the same way. You're sitting at this table and these plates of life are in front of us. And people are looking at their plate and they think it looks good until yours shows up. And they see the stuff in your life looks a little better than what they got on theirs. And they sitting there, they watching you. And they're like, I just want a little bit of what you got. And the best thing you can do as a server of Jesus is slide your plate over near theirs. And start giving them some of what you've gone through. Telling them what Jesus has done for you. Giving them a taste
of what you already know is good. You change a person's whole palate by introducing them to something they ain't never had before. How can they know he's good if they ain't never tasted him? And some of us won't try anything unless somebody we know tries it first. And when somebody you know tries it, and they tell you, you need to taste this. Nah, bro, that look nasty. Just take a bite. Nah, I don't want none of that. Come on, just take a bite. I promise you, you're going to look. Okay. And you take that taste, and you know you got them when they be like, oh, can I get another one? That's how it is with Jesus. I just want to give you a taste. I just want you to see a little bit of who he is and what he's done for me. And our testimony enhances the visual appeal of Jesus. Because at the beginning of this story, Jesus says that this blind man was blind so that the power of God could be seen in him. Do you understand that the things you've been through, the things you've overcome, the stuff you come out of, these are all just opportunities for God's power to be seen through you? We become his walking billboards, his advertisements. We are his living commercials. Here's what happens if you try this product. Look at my life and see if that's what you would like to have. And Jesus is always ready to deliver more product to the people that need him. I want to encourage you that the greatest story you will ever tell is a story of who Jesus is. But the second greatest story is of what he's done for you in your life. It has power. Now, church, I'm going to challenge you the way I did first service. And some of you are not going to like it. I already know. I argued with the Holy Spirit and he told me to do this. And I was like, no. And he said, who in charge? I said, okay, you in charge. Here's what we're going to do in just a moment. And I'm going to explain this nice and calmly so I don't scare you. In a few moments, I'm going to ask you to get in groups of three or four people. And I want you to just tell 60 seconds of your testimony. Now, let me help you, because I feel the tension from my introverted people right now. If you introverted, I know. I feel it. You already, your blood pressure is going up. Some of y'all turning red and you ain't said nothing yet. I know. But God wants to use your testimony to free other people. And he will let you do that in a store. It'll be in a bathroom. It'll be in a mall. It'll be at a Great America. It can be anywhere. And if you're unable or unwilling to simply share what God has done, you'll miss an opportunity. So when I say in 60 seconds, we're not going back to old school testimony service, y'all. I don't want you to tell your life, well, let me start back in 1983. No. If a person say that, y'all skip them, okay? No, we're talking 60 seconds. So if I were to tell you my testimony, 60 seconds, I remember who I was. I was divorced. I was angry. I was depressed. I was ready to give up on life. What God did, he met me in my aunt's home where I had to move after I lost everything. He met me in a little bedroom I was living in upstairs, and he told me, I can turn your whole life around if you give me a yes. With tears coming down my face, I said, yes, Jesus. I will do whatever you want if I never have to feel this type of pain ever again. What did that do for me? Y'all, I'm standing here somehow pastoring. I'm somehow here in the same county I left after the divorce with many of the people who knew me beforehand that's looking at me now trying to figure out how did this happen? Because I serve an amazing God who says just because other people are through with you doesn't mean that I am. I can give you my testimony in 60 seconds. And I'm going to ask you to do that. We are going to partner with the Holy Spirit. And that's literally what he told me. You're going to partner with me today. Why is it a partnership? Because when you partner with the Holy Spirit, you give up control. You're going to get into groups. And some of y'all are going to hate it. And you're going to get in that group. And it's going to magically be like, that person said exactly what I needed to hear. And it ain't magic. It's called the Holy Spirit orchestrating our footsteps. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand on your feet. Now,
If you say, Pastor Jay, I can't, I just, then just stand there and listen. If you say, Pastor Jay, I don't know how I feel about this Jesus thing. Maybe you like my guy that said, hey, I don't even know if I believe God is real. That's cool. I'm not here to beat you up on that. Listen to what's happening around you. And think about, I might be able to challenge the beliefs, but can I challenge the outcome? So I want you to put something in your mind of who you used to be, or maybe what you used to go through, or something that God has helped you overcome in your life. Think about when God got a hold of you to change that. And then just tell people, here's who I am today. We're going to turn some music on. I'm going to be up here just praying. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes. Now, again, y'all, 60 seconds. Because I know some of y'all like to talk. And in 5 minutes, I'm going to come back up here and I'm going to pray out. And you're welcome to keep talking. You're welcome to keep hanging out. We ain't got nowhere to go. We ain't got nowhere to do. Me and Pastor Sonia is here. But let's see what happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way and to use us as his walking billboards of what God can do in our lives. I don't care what your age is, you have a story. I don't care where you've come from, you have a story. Share it and partner with me today. And let's see what God does. So let's go ahead, even now. You can stay right where you are. You can come down front. Find you about 3 or 4 folks. Go ahead, right where you are, right next to you, right behind you. Find some folks. Maybe even find somebody that you don't know that well. Come on out them chairs. I know. I'm going to stand up here and fuss. Come on up out them seats. I know. Y'all like, I didn't come to church to move around. I know you didn't. I know. This ain't normal nowhere. They don't do this nowhere. I know. I would like to welcome you again to Beach Park. Thank you. Welcome. Find you somebody, find you some people that maybe you don't even know. Just tell them who you were and what happened. If you see somebody standing there by themselves, just pull them on in. You already got 5 people, you see somebody by themselves, make it a 6. We don't care. Hey, Journey Beach Park, I want to pray for you all. Can I get everybody just to look up this way for a second, and then I'm going to let you continue your conversation. Because I know some of y'all in deep conversation. You didn't even know you was going to actually like this. I know. This was actually wasn't that bad. Can I get everybody's attention for just a moment? Just a moment. I'm going to let you go right on back. I promise I am. I just want to pray a prayer of dismissal. I'm going to pray for God's favor over you. I want to encourage you to keep telling people your testimony. It's powerful. You can feel. Maybe you can't. I can feel it. Like the atmosphere shifts. It changes. There's a lightening of things because the Holy Spirit is like, now I'm in charge. Oh, they talking about me in the room. Yeah, let me come on up in here. Your testimony has the power to change lives. Never be afraid to share it.